The following program was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
Hi, this is attorney Jeffrey Meldon. On our Law Talk Live radio show, we're going to highlight some of the incredible guests that we've had on our Meldon Law and Friends podcast as we approach our 150th episode. Many of our loyal listeners from Law Talk Live may not know about our podcast, which airs on Facebook Live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville, Florida. And we bring on guests from all over North Central Florida and beyond. Stay tuned to listen to the following interview from one of our amazing guests and head on over to our Facebook page and hit the like button so you do not miss any of our upcoming shows. For more information on our podcast, please give us a call at 352-373-8000 or visit our website at meldonlaw.com. Welcome to Meldon Law and Friends. I'm Jeffrey Meldon, your host. Every week goes live Tuesday at 4, but you can also check us out on, we got YouTube, we've got Facebook, Meldon Law and Friends, or you can go to your favorite audio platform and pick us up. We are getting ready to go to a break on Meldon Law and Friends. We're going to be back with our great friend Kip Hayes from a group Kids in Positive Places. You'll just love what he's doing to make our community better.
Meldon Law has been serving personal injury victims since 1971. In those days, Jeffrey Meldon's presence as an attorney in the music scene dubbed him with the nickname The Hippie Attorney. And although times have changed, two things haven't. Our commitment to bettering our community by helping the injured.
Albert, are you ready to go to the game?
And our love for the Florida Gators.
If you bleed orange and blue, Meldon Law is the firm for you.
Jeffrey, what are you doing?
Well, I'm joining the band, of course. Since Meldon Law is the official law firm partner of the Florida Gators, I want to help.
Dad, we're litigators. Let's stick to helping people in the courtroom.
Well, can we still hang out and jam a little bit? At Meldon Law, we won't back down.
I was going down a one-way street, and a girl that was driving her car T-boned me on my scooter. I ended up going for an MRI and discovering that I had two herniated discs. Coming to Cary allowed me to not have to worry about what doctor I was going to see or what physical therapist I had to go to. They say, these are the people we trust. You're going to have a great experience there. And I honestly did each time.
Call Meldon Law. Your consultation is absolutely free.
I was driving behind a lady, and very suddenly she moved out of the way. There was a log laying in the road. And when I hit my brakes, I went on top of the log. I had two herniated discs. I just haven't been the same since. Jeffrey Meldon fought for me all the way. Him and his team really went there for me. Throughout the whole lawsuit, he made sure that my bills was paid. It was never no whenever I called him and asked him for something.
Call Meldon Law right now.
And I was in an accident. Someone ran a red light and hit me, and I was hurt. You don't know where to turn. Luckily, I called Jeffrey. These big insurance companies, they don't want you to win. They truly don't. But Jeffrey and his firm and the people that work here, they just really fight for you. You call the law offices of Jeffrey Meldon because you're going to need help, and they will help you.
Call Meldon Law right now.
Hey, Sammy, look who's there. Say hi.
Hey.
You again!
Meldon Law, Jeffrey speaking.
Jeffrey!
Oh my
somebody else.
Hit us. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go again. Welcome back to Meldon Law and Friends. I'm Jeffrey Meldon, founder and attorney at Meldon Law. We're your local personal injury law firm, Gainesville, Ocala, Lake City, and actually anywhere in Florida. But that's where our main offices are, and we'd love for you to give us a call if you need help. We'll be glad to talk with you for free and figure out whether or not you have a case if you've been seriously injured in an accident. So give us a call, 352-373-8000, or go to meldonlaw.com. It's my pleasure to have my good friend and guest Kip Hayes with us. How are you doing today, Kip?
I am fine. Thank you for having me, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
Well, Kip's been around for a long time. You know, what I love is that you were in the pawn and jewelry business for many years.
Many years. Yes.
Now, you really get to learn about people in that business, don't you?
Yes, you do. It is a continued education business. And the career about the pawn shop is that it's never a day that's the same day. Because people are different, products are different, and circumstances are always different. So I learned a lot about people, products, precious metals, you know, precious stones, a little bit about everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the pawnbroker has to know more than the customer, right?
100%. Sort of like the attorney.
More
than the client, right? So when somebody brings something in, you better be on top of your game because they're going to be on top of their game.
Right.
So if they bring something in, you got to know exactly what it's worth to you. As the pawnbroker, and you got to respect what it's worth to them as the client. And a lot of times, man, you're going to do really well. You're going to get those deals that both of you walk away saying, "I could have did better." That's the best deal when both client and pawnbroker walk away feeling like, "I could have did better." That's the best deal.
So, how did you learn to value, you know, things like diamond rings and stuff like that?
Well, I started at Gold Standard. It was Gold Standard. It was down on West University Avenue. And it was a guy there, real nice guy, been knowing him a long time, named Sal Fluriach.
We all know Sal.
Okay. Sal took me in when I was working. I was working two jobs, right? I had custody of my kids.
So this is like 30-some years ago, right?
This is in 1995.
Okay.
Yes. I had my kids living with me because, you know, I wanted to be a responsible dad. And I said custody, but I didn't have custody. Their moms let me keep the kids because, you know, I wanted to be a responsible dad. I didn't want to be a child support guy. I didn't want to be a check in the mail. So I was working two jobs. I was working at Little Champ and I was working at Shane's. And Sal goes, "Hey, I got a job if you want to take it, man. It'll probably be beneficial for you to take the job. You can work one job. You can see about your kids. And you can learn a trade." And so he hires me to work at Gold Standard. And he was the nicest guy. He taught me a lot of things about finances, about precious stones, precious metals. He taught me about, because now you got to remember, this is in 95. I didn't understand FICO score. I didn't understand bank accounts. I didn't understand credit cards. I didn't understand credit score. And he taught me, took me under his wing, and he showed me all of these things while teaching me the pawn business at the same time. So he really was like a big brother to me, even though I was, you know, he's not much older than me, but he was just one of those guys that cared because he saw me trying. And I was a struggling single parent, right? He saw me trying, so he took me under his wing. He hired me to work on the video, the electronic section, the electronic side. He had an electronic side, he had a jewelry side. I think he thought that the jewelry side was a little complicated. So
it is.
Yeah, he thought it was a little complicated. So he says, "You know how to hook up VCRs? You know how old this was, right?"
Yeah.
VCRs, right? So he said, "You can hook up VCRs." I said, "I can hook up VCRs because I'm selling myself. I can hook up VCRs to TVs and give you home theater systems." He said, "Show me what you got." Right? I go in there and I hook up the VCRs, the TVs and speakers. Got the home theater going and I'm working and doing really well. He's got his other staff on the other side there. Educated in the jewelry business as far as the precious stones, precious metals, grading diamonds and all of those things. So what I did, Jeff, once I figured I mastered this side of the store, because I knew all about the hi-fi VCRs, the home theater systems, the different speakers. Back then it was Serato was like the most popular speaker. And then they had, they had all kinds of receivers and stuff like that. So I mastered that stuff. I felt like I was pretty good. And I walked over to the jewelry side one day because it was slow, and the guy said, "Hey man, we good over here." You know, he kind of brushed me off, you know, sent me back to the other side. I'm cool. So what I did was, back then you would get these catalogs in the mail, right? Sears catalogs, JCPenney catalogs, right?
I remember.
So I opened the catalog and I would look up the stones that were in the catalog. Mm-hmm. Look up the diamonds and they would always have a rating with them. VS1, VS2, VVS. And they would always have different prices depending on the grade. So they had emeralds, they had Chathams, which were generic fake emeralds, man-made stuff. And then they would have rubies, they would have garnets, they would have sapphires, they would have blue sapphires, they would have topaz. And I studied those things for months because Christmas was coming up, right? And this was the middle of summer, so it was kind of slow. Students were gone. And I said, man, if I could just get a shot over there, because those guys were earning the real money, mm-hmm. right? They were earning, I was earning like a couple of $100 a week. Those guys were earning big money. To me, you know, it was like $500-$600 a week. You're talking about 1995. Right. Man, if I could get over there, I could earn myself a pretty good living. Me and my kids would be, you know, we'd be eating high cheese, right? You know? So I'm thinking like, okay, so this is what happened. I'm doing my sweep up. We got a broom, you know, I'm sweeping up, and it's kind of slow on my side, but the jewelry side is packed. It's like right after Thanksgiving, Black Friday. This is when Black Friday really meant something. This is when it was no online stuff. There was nothing. We had, all our phones were handwritten. You know, there was DOS computers, you know, and the monitors were this big, but the screen was only this big, right? So, and it was all green, you know. So they get packed, and there's this lady standing by the door wanting to look at a tennis bracelet. I saw it, right? And I took a chance. I took my shot. Because when you get an opportunity to take your shot, you got to take your shot. If you done your research, if you study, if you're confident in yourself, you feel good about yourself, you feel like you got this knowledge, even if you end up wrong or sort of off target, you still have to take your shot. Because this is your shot. Right?
If you don't, what do they say? If you don't take the shot, you can't score.
You can't score, right? So if you don't take the shot, this is what you teach this. This is all teachable moments, right? There will come a time when you have a chance to strike out or hit a home run. I said, well, if I'm going to strike out, I'm going to strike out swinging, right? So the lady was standing over there. Every assistant had a client. I walked over there. I said, ma'am, is there anything you'd like to see? And everybody got quiet and looked up. It was like, what is he doing, right? So I said, ma'am, is there anything you'd like to see? And she says, yeah, I'd like to see this tennis bracelet. So when she asked that question, there were tennis bracelets on the jewelry bar that were all different sizes, different stones, right? You had emerald, sapphire, ruby, diamond. You had all those. I said, would you like to see the emerald tennis bracelet or the diamond tennis bracelet? You weren't specific. And everybody got quiet again, like, oh, okay. So, you know, I felt the hair growing on my neck because I'm like, they watching me. You know, they watching me, but I'm taking my shot. So she says, let me see the diamond tennis bracelet right there, third on the left. And I pick it up. I remember exactly what it was. And I pick it up and I look at it and there's a tag on it. And all the jewelry tags had codes, right? So back then, I can say this now, back then the code was university. Right? Because we're on university. And University of Florida was always Sal's passion, right? So university was a code. 10-letter word, each letter representing a number. U being the 1, Y being a 0, right? So it was university, and that was the code. So I knew if it was a UNY, right, that was $120, right? Or if it was UNYY, it was $1,200. Mm-hmm. It was like that, right? I think that one, too. Anyway, that's how it was. So I'm just making sure I got the right code. So I knew what the price was. And then there was another code on there for what to take for it, mm-hmm. right? Because I had been watching these guys.
Right.
So now you got a code on what to take. What you're selling it for, what's the lowest you'll go. It's all in the code. Mm-hmm. So she makes an offer on it. She said, that's a little high. I said, well, ma'am, tell me this. What do I have to do to sell this bracelet to you today? It's the holidays. And we worked out a deal. And I sold it to her. When I got a box it up, sold it to her, took the money, I left the money. I didn't disrespect the guys that were there. I left the money. I said, here's the money. And I made, you guys make the change. I got to get back over here. I got a customer. I mean, I got a client, because we call them clients. And I went back over there. And Jeff, you know what I did when I got back over there? I was like, the home run, man. The home run. And so the day went by, and Sal comes back in. He said, hey, man, I need to talk to you, right? So I'm a little concerned because I did overstep. You know, I wasn't authorized to go over there. He says, they told me what you did, man. I was gone and we got busy slamming. Hey, man, how did you learn that stuff? I say, oh, I learned from these guys. I learned from the books. These guys didn't show me nothing. But I'm a team guy, right? I've always been a team guy. I'm like, I learned from these guys. You know, I hear them talking and stuff like that. And then I would watch them pick stuff up, put stuff up and stuff like that. And he says, man, stay after work. I want to talk to you about something. Right? This is Sal, right? I say, cool. So everybody's gone. He says, I need you to clean up for me, right? So I'm cleaning up. And here's the test, because the test got to come, right? So I'm cleaning up, I'm vacuuming, and there's a diamond tennis bracelet on the floor, right? This is a teachable moment. There's a diamond tennis bracelet on the floor. So I'm vacuuming, I'm like, huh. So I pick it up. I put it in my pocket, right? I continue to vacuum. And I finish vacuuming, I walk up to the counter, I say, hey, man, this was on the floor, man. Y'all got to be careful. And I sit it down. He says, oh, yeah, cool. He never told me.
Did he put it there?
He never told me. He still hasn't told me he put it there. But you know, I'm like, man, I'm not going to blow. I just took a swing. I just hit a home run. I'm not going to strike out. Because one thing about it, I've seen it happen. I've seen people maximize their potential and then minimize their expectations of themselves by doing something crazy, right? And man, after that, it was 2 months. When my first year come around, I go from being the guy on this other side that sells the electronics to assistant manager.
Wow.
A year later, I'm manager. A year after that, him and his partner want to part ways. And I was part of the deal of him parting ways. With his partner says, I want this guy to run my store. And the store was in Alachua.
Oh.
The store was in Alachua.
And so you went up there for a long time, right?
I went up there and he told me it was going to be kind of rough. He says, if you go up there, I'm just telling you, you might be the N-word every other day. I'm just telling you. So if you're not ready for that, if you're not built for that, I'm just telling you it's going to be rough, because you're going to have to fire everyone in there and hire your own staff, because you got to make this your place. Yeah. And I understood that, because now we're talking infrastructure, right? Now here I am learning. These are all teachable moments, right? I say, really? He says, yeah. So I'm thinking it's not going to be that bad. I'm saying this can't be that bad, you know. So he takes me up there. We're sitting outside in this truck. And he goes, are you sure you ready for this? I said, yeah, I got it, man. Give me a wad of cash to put in the drawer. You're starting over. This is your day. This is your store. That's what he says, right? I walk in the store, and there was three Caucasians in there. And the lady that was in there, she had the visor on. She says, you aren't the new manager, are you? I said, yeah, I'm Kip. How you doing? She says, and walks out the freaking door. Hey, I don't know if you ever seen that movie Blazing Saddles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, you remember the part where the new sheriff comes to town?
Right.
That's
right.
How
I was.
Cleavon Little. That's how I felt when he spoke to the town resident and he goes, hey man, this is a lovely morning. She said something to him to the point of, it was a racial slur.
Right.
And next thing you know, he's sitting there looking like this. He couldn't believe it, because he'd only shown kindness, right? That's how I felt. I was like, really? So the other guy goes, hey, I can't apologize for her behavior, because we've never even encountered an N-word in this industry. So I don't think I'm going to stay here either. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to hang with your brother. But I say, oh, whoa, wait a minute. I say, I didn't come here for you to try to hang out with me. I came here to let you go. Oh, really? You want to fire me? I'm the gunsmith. I say, I understand. But you got to go. So one person ended up staying, but they only stayed for two more days. And he left too. So I'm in there by myself, right? I'm in there by myself. And the owner, and I'm not going to mention his name because I hadn't talked to him about it. He comes back. He says, hey, you doing all right? I say, I'm doing all right, man. It was busy because I was the only one there. He says, you need to get some help. He says, I know some people. I'm going to send them your way. You evaluate whether or not you can. But I trust them. They don't know a lot about the pawn business. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself. So he sends Chris, his nephew, right? And Chris owns Newberry Pawn right now still. And I train Chris. I train him. I teach him the ropes, all of this. A year or so go by. I talk to him and I say, hey, man, now we're in 1998. Chris is more than capable of running this business. I want my own store. I want to get my own store. So the first thing I did was call Sal, right? Because, you know, out of respect, because this guy started me in this business. I'm one of those guys big on respect, big on loyalty. Hey, would it be okay? Because I'm going to move this, put this store in Gainesville. Hey, would it be okay with you, man, if I open my own store? I found a building. And he's like, are you ready for that? I say, I'm ready for it. I say, I have the knowledge. I have the resources. I know I'm ready. He says, you got my blessing. If you want to do it, do it. And that's all I needed, because I wasn't going to go step on a man's toes that started me in the business by opening the same business as he did and take revenue out of his pocket. I just think without consulting and, you know, me and him talked about it. He was cool with it. I felt like that was the best thing for me to do.
So while we're talking about lessons learned, I know you've started this group, Kids in Positive Places.
Yes.
How did you apply some of those lessons learned to what you're doing with Kids in Positive Places?
It's exactly that. We want to put kids in positive places, right? Positive thinking. Positive affirmations. All the lessons that we learned growing up, the tough lessons, right? We learned, those are teachable moments, because we didn't get, you know, back then we got discipline. We got whippings, you know, what my brother called them, whoopings, you know, because they was pretty severe. You didn't have to get but one a month, because that's how severe they were. You remember not to do it again. So now, these lessons of work ethic, something as simple as getting up in the morning, brushing your teeth, washing your face, comb your hair, iron your clothes, make up your bed, learn how to scramble an egg or boil an egg, right? If you say your prayers, all of these things before you get ready to go to school, right? Before you get ready to go to school, you should be sharp as a tack. Put on a belt. Make sure you're lined up. You might not have the best clothes, but they're clothes. You might not have the best shoes, but they're shoes. Do the best you can with what you got, right? And I taught my own kids that. Man, we were sitting on milk crates in that apartment. We had sheets on the windows. We didn't have furniture. My kids still tell me those were some of the happiest times, because we made do with what we had. I wasn't going back out in the streets to go get anything. I wasn't going to do anything illegal to do anything. I wasn't going to do anything immoral to do anything. So we're going to make the best of what we got. Whatever God gives us, we'll accept it and make the best of it. So those same lessons that I learned, that's the infrastructure for Kids in Positive Places.
So let's talk, get more in depth.
Okay.
Tell us what Kids in Positive Places is, and then we want to talk about how people can get involved. So tell us what is Kids. I know you started it, so why don't you talk a little bit about what Kids in Positive Places is, and we can talk about how people can get involved.
Sure. Kids in Positive Places is a youth empowerment mentorship program. It teaches kids life skills. It teaches them how to work. We teach how to use your hands, because all kids aren't going to college. All kids aren't going to the military.
But hey, your air conditioning guy and the plumber, they make more than anybody.
Than anybody. Hey, when was the last time you heard of a carpenter? Last time I heard of a carpenter, I think Jesus was the last carpenter I heard of. Because I think it's a lost skill, a lost trade, a lost art. Mm-hmm. So we're teaching these kids home economics, you know, how to buy groceries, how to use their hands and their brains, lawn service, detailing cars, plumbing, drywall, fencing, framing. They can use their hands and earn the same kind of living as somebody with a college degree or better, somebody that went to the military for 20, 30 years or better. They can do all of these things, but what it does, it instills confidence. It instills structure. It instills discipline. Because the average man that works with his hands is so confident in himself that he don't need somebody to validate his manhood. right? He don't need somebody to tell him how good he is, even though it's nice, you know, it's nice. The dopamine in your brain wants to accept a lot of things. But
we all like having somebody say you're doing a good job.
Yes, you do.
We try to do that around the office.
Right,
you
right.
Know, you guys, I go around and tell everybody good morning, right. You know, you're doing good. But what you're saying is to build the self-confidence to move forward, you can gain that self-confidence by learning a trade or doing something where you actually go, I'm pretty good at this.
Yes, and we all have skills. We all have natural abilities, right? We want to find out what that natural ability is in each kid, boys and girls, because there's going to be a skill set that you have that's going to separate you from everybody else, right? You might be the best seamstress in the world, but never had a sewing machine to prove it. You might be the best musician in the world, but never had an instrument to play. You might be the best carpenter in the world, but you never got the right tools to use your hands. You might be the best mechanic. You might be able to look at a car and diagnose what it is right away. You know, and we all have these natural abilities, and kids really have them, right? Because they're growing into them. And we want to tap into that from the third grade to high school. We start these kids on these programs.
So if people want to get involved, how can they get a hold of you?
They will pull up the website, kidsinpositiveplaces.com. Mm-hmm. They can email me, kidsinpositiveplaces@gmail.com. They can call me at 855-980-5477. 855-980-5477. And they can talk to me personally. We do have applications on the website. But if they want to learn more, if the average individual will get in touch with me or the average business.
Hi, this is Attorney Jeffrey Melvin. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we look forward to Law Talk Live for you next week. And go Gators!